The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to walk out your faith in every place you live and work. You'll be introduced to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry, giving you the tools needed to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is brought to you by the Central Florida Christian Chamber. Now, here's your host, Mike Gillen.
Welcome back to The Shepherd at Work here on the Shepherd Radio Network. It is my pleasure each and every week to be at this hour with you and presenting to you someone in the business world that is doing it for the Lord and doing it for the kingdom of God. All of those things coming together in the person of Christy Naruzzi. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, you know, you've been up in the studio with us a number of times, and I know that you are with Empire Financial. You're a mortgage loan officer, and you're also an author, speaker, and a credit expert. And I know you also find some time in there for doing podcasting.
I do. I'm a little bit of a geek. I tend to chase down information just for knowledge. And then I love to be able to kind of regurgitate it in a way that is not so complicated to take in. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a wild journey. It's funny where God kind of leads us and takes us along. And if we can, I've learned along the way, Mike, that if we let go of our expectations of how things should look and just go on a ride, just expectant of something amazing that God's going to bring, it's just really cool what shows up when we allow him to do it instead of trying to take control.
You know, that whole thing of trusting God, it can sound easier than it really is in the final analysis when people need to put that into practice, need to trust him, need to maybe not do something, which is what we're going to be talking a little bit about with you today. Sometimes it's people want to do something. I heard years ago that one of the difficult things about people accepting the grace of God is that, and the one author said it this way, people want to smuggle a little bit of their own work into their salvation experience. There's this need we feel that we've got to contribute something to it. And yet we know in Scripture that that's not the case at all. We are saved by grace. And trusting God can be very similar. We want to do something to help him along in all that he's got to do for us.
As if he needs our help. I saw something online last week, and it's just still dancing around in my soul. And it really hit me, because if I could share, the last, probably the last 6 months has been a bit of a struggle, more mentally than probably anything else. And I'm sure some of our listeners might be able to relate to this. We hit different seasons, and this last season, you know, a lot of it was just, it was made up of me, of my external environment, kind of creating some lag or confusion, I suppose, in my space. But I'm reminded in little ways, and God showed me this meme on social media where, you know, somebody, it said me, as if this is me speaking, it says me, God, I'm done. And then God said, great, now I can begin.
Oh,
you know, so
wow.
We have to surrender, right? We have to just surrender. So instead of saying I quit or I'm done, Lord, I surrender. And then now he says, child, good. Been waiting for you to get out of your own way all this time.
That's really good. I like that. We've got to get out of the way and let the Lord do what only the Lord can do.
That's right.
And it's so great to know how faithful he is to do just those things. Mm. But again, part of it is just crucifying that desire and that need we have to be a person in control, because we are not. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about here in this segment is to get your thoughts on that, this very issue about trusting with finances. I know that you are, and we've talked about this many times, you're a credit expert. And what we are in right now is that season where a lot of people's tax returns are coming back to them, and they use them in a lot of times, a lot of ways, maybe in the most unwise fashion, either as a down payment for a car that they really can't afford, or they'll, instead of applying maybe some un, unexpected income, if a tax return's higher than one would have thought it would be, where they could retire some debt, they'll go out and maybe go further in debt. So what are your thoughts about how to handle money with all of the tax returns that are coming in?
Awesome question. I love this. So, you know, money is a tool and it's also a renewable resource. But sometimes if we sit in that scarcity mindset, because quite honestly, there's a lot of times where there's more month than there is money.
Right.
And we get this little, you know, windfall that bestows on our lap here. It's really easy to say, oh, I'd love to, you know, fill in the blank. Because spending money can really change something inside of us, but it's actually temporary. It helps us feel elated or gets the serotonin flowing or the endorphins rising, and it feels good to go and get something new, but it's fleeting. And to your point, a lot of times it's a down payment on something that costs more than what the actual allotted money is. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this. When I've gone and tried to put money in savings for that emergency fund or, you know, the 6 months worth of living expenses in case something terrible happens, it always seems, and I don't like to use the word always, it often seems like some emergency pops up and robs me of that savings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, the timing belt goes out in the car or whatever the case is. You know, we've got to just shift our perspective a little bit. It didn't rob me of my savings. I had the savings there, so I didn't have to go put it on a credit card. So that's step one, is make sure that we're looking at things with the right perspective. And then secondly, if you've got any credit card debt that you're bringing forward, I encourage you to go and look and see what that interest rate is. There's a really good chance it's a 20-something percent,
yeah,
and it starts with a high 20-something percent. And a lot of people don't realize, because it's really easy right now to pay our bills just, you know, through an app. But back in the olden days, we used to get snail mail, and that bill would show up, and on page 2 or page 3 would show how much we were paying in interest charges,
mm-hmm,
and what that APR was. It's really easy to ignore that right now, but I almost want you to go back and look at, like, maybe your December year-end statement and see how much you paid in interest. And I hope it stings, because sometimes that hurt or that sting is what is needed to motivate us to make some changes. But there's a really good chance that a big chunk of your take-home pay is going towards servicing debt. So let's get rid of the debt, because it would actually free us for some other things. So if you do have a couple hundred or a couple thousand coming your way, be really thoughtful long-term. It's easy to think about the short-term or a temporary gain, a temporary win with buying something new. But let's think about long-term and see how we might invest that. You actually have until tax day to contribute towards your IRA for last year.
Right.
So if you didn't add towards your IRA for last year, get with your financial advisor and do that with your tax refund, because that way your money can grow and compound over time and become something quite significant down the road.
Now, I feel that I'm on safe ground in saying this, but I want your thoughts on it as well. In my mind, knowing what I know about credit, the rate of interest on credit cards, mm-hmm, I can't imagine there ever being a good time to ever let anything roll over to the next month with a credit card, because it automatically costs you more than you think it does when you do that. Not only are you paying that 20 plus percent interest, but that is on the remaining balance. So that means that interest is going to be added to the principal on month one. And then if you only make a minimum payment month two, now you're making a payment against last month's not paid interest plus the remainder of the principal, whatever it was. And that cycle just keeps going. So it would really be an interesting thing for me to see if a person was rolling over a credit score, a credit card balance for a couple of years, what the actual interest level would be.
Yeah, it compounds in the wrong direction, right? We want our savings interest to compound, not our debt service to compound.
That's right.
But Here's another thought to consider as well. The government controls a lot of things, including interest rates. And the Fed funds rate, we thought would be coming down after quarter one here. And the Fed meets at the end of this month, and I don't have a crystal ball. I'm glad I don't have one. I'm going to guess, though, I'll bet you a Coca-Cola and a $10 bill that they're not going to start reducing the Fed funds rate until maybe later this year, and maybe later this year. And why that's significant is because the Fed funds rate is attached to or tied to the prime index rate. So the prime index rate moves in tandem with what the Fed funds rate does, and the prime interest rate is what APRs on credit cards are tied to.
That means
those credit card APRs will remain as high as they are now. And if you are late, if you go over your balance, if you do something that is not in agreement with your credit card's terms, you can then experience a penalty APR or a fee on top of all of that interest.
That's right. And those fees have grown in years recent too, because of the fact that, you know, some of them are as high as $50 or whatever, and $35 minimally, I think, for a penalty or a fee, a late fee. If you're just a little bit late, it could only be a few hours late. But if it is, then you've got all of that added to the compounding interest that you owe on that credit card. So that would be my advice, is to never let a credit card, if you have one, never let it roll over to the next month. That is just not going to lead you into the good land of life with freedom from finances. Christy Nauruzzi is my guest today. She is a real estate trainer, mortgage loan officer, and an author. We're going to be talking about the author part of that when we return. This is Shepherd at Work, and we'll be right back.
Would you like to increase your business's exposure in the Christian community and build your business with greater kingdom purpose? If so, then the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is the solution for you. Hi, this is Co-President Latondra Heaven. The Christian Chamber is more than just another business organization. It's a regional community of business professionals passionate about advancing the kingdom of God through the marketplace in Central Florida. As a member, get access to exclusive values-based networking events, Christ-centered professional development, marketing opportunities, and consistent prayer support for you and your business. Plus, gain access to the National U.S. Christian Chamber Coalition. Become a member today. Visit our website, cfchristianchamber.com, or call us at 407-431-0732. That's 407-431-0732.
Once again, here is Mike Gillen.
Christy Nauruzzi is my guest today on The Shepherd at Work. So great to have you along. We've been talking a little bit about just the importance of staying on the green side, if you will, of the credit card problems and dilemma that our country has. There are so many things that are going on right now, Christy, in the country that causes a lot of people like you great concern because, well, number one, we see inflation continuing to cook up, and it's not apparently going down anywhere as fast as what we would have been led to believe if we listened to the State of the Union address. It's still up there, and people are still paying as much as 20% or more for groceries than what they did just a couple of years ago. So that is making a big impact too. And then you add to that the cost of gasoline, then of course that causes everything up the chain to increase as well. So we're living in a time right now, how we manage our money can really make the difference in us being in debt or out of debt.
Absolutely. And that management part is probably the hardest chore one can take on, especially when things are good. We don't have to think, do I have the $12 or $15 to go buy lunch, as opposed to meal planning at home and bringing it, right? We don't have to have those little momentary pauses to think about how we're spending our money. But when things cost 20, 30%, just like you said, more than what they have in the past, and all of a sudden you're just feeling pulled in so many different directions, and all of a sudden you've got this credit card bill that you can't pay off at the end of the month that maybe you had in the past, or you had a couple of extra dollars left in the checking account after bills are paid, and now that doesn't show up that way anymore. The most important thing that I could leave your listeners with today and encourage you to attempt to take on is create a budget, a household budget. And I know for a lot of people that just feels like a yucky word, because we tend to put our previous experience and thoughts and feelings into what we say as a word. Just like, Mike, if I asked you and 10 other people, what does success mean for you? There would be 11 different definitions, right? So we all have our own definition based on our past experiences. So I want to invite you, just let that go, what you think a budget looks like or feels like, and maybe call it a spending plan. And just, this is the way that you can be in control of your finances. You work hard for your money. Let's make it go as far as it can for you. So there are a few fixed costs that you really don't have any control over, but it just recurs every month. That might be your mortgage or your rent. That might be a car payment. Something along those lines. It's just a fixed cost. So that's really easy to lay out. Make sure we've got, you know, transportation and shelter taken care of. Okay, check. And then what are the other things that we have to have? We have to keep the lights on, right? We have to have gas in the car. We have to have insurance on our homes and on our cars and on our bodies. So write those out. And then that remaining part, where does that money go? So the easiest way for me to go and look at where I'm spending money, I'll look at the last 3 months worth of my credit card transactions. And then also my last 3 months of bank statements, because some things I use credit cards for, some things I use my debit card for. And then there's some things that aren't monthly, right? There might be a quarterly or semi-annual cost. Like for instance, I pay my auto insurance every 6 months just because it's a little bit cheaper and I have it budgeted already. Some people don't do that. They pay it monthly. So think about those things that may not be paid for or auto-drafted out every single month that you might need to add to your budget. And then this is the kicker for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I always shortfall on gifting. We have to have gifts for those that we love in our life. If you didn't give, you know, a family member or your significant other or your best friend a gift for a very special event, birthday or anniversary or whatever they're celebrating, you might hurt some feelings. So make sure you add in some money for the gifts that you give in your life. And then there are some things that are seasonal. Here in Florida, our electric bill tends to be very, very different in August than it is in, say, March. Right now, I've got the doors and windows open for half of March because it's lovely outside. But in August, that AC is cranking hard all month long.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've got to think about those seasonal adjustments to some of those costs too. And what some people might find is that you're actually in the red. You're actually in the negative for what you're taking home after taxes and some deductions and what we're paying for. And all that is, it's just a signifier. It's just a notification. Okay, something has to change. And so what can we change? I see a lot of people when I look, I mean, I've looked at thousands of credit reports through my line of work, and I see a lot of people with $800, $1,000, $1,200 car payments. I think that transportation is a requirement, but is a $1,000 car payment a requirement?
Clearly
probably
not.
So there might need to be some adjustments. I remember, you know, driving my dream car, and at the time my dream car was a brand new Kia Optima. I still love the car, but I remember it being such a significant part of my take home pay. That was the easiest thing that I could get that I could change out, and I went with an older, still, you know, great car. Got a Hyundai, and it lasted me for years and years. But my car payment when I had car payments, it went down like $200 a month. That $200 a month was one step closer to getting out of credit card debt. I mean, I was drowning in debt. So what kind of adjustments can we make in our lives? What can you take on a side hustle? Can you take on extra hours? You know, what other kind of strategies can we bring into our life so that we don't feel this negative effect? And then the byproduct of that is rising balances on credit cards, because there's, again, more month than money. So I would have you start there. That's the most important thing you could do for yourself and your family, is actually track it.
You're not known as Credit Christie for nothing. That's some really great advice right there. One thing before we get to the book that you wrote, one thing I'd like to throw in and add, I've talked to several pastors. You mentioned the importance of gifting, and I'm thinking also as believers, we need to also be thinking about what we give to the Lord in our tithe, in our offering. So when we look at that, that is sadly one of the areas that a lot of people, even believers now, they will not. They've backed off in many cases of giving to the church, and that is a sad thing. I think on a number of fronts. Certainly, we want to be in obedience to the Lord, and He's called on us. And I tell you, I don't think there's a good strategy involved in cutting out giving to the Lord when things are high in inflation the way they are. We need to somehow still figure this out and do it, and trust God with the balance.
And that's where God's economy comes in. He always, always, always delivers. So about a year and a half ago, I found myself in a bad habit. I make 100% commission. And what I was doing, based on what somebody had told me, I don't know, in a fleeting conversation, they said, you know what, we just wait till the end of the year and we tithe 10% off of what we earn. I was like, well, that sounds simple. And I found myself doing that. And I got convicted. Mm. I was putting together a presentation for being on stage, and I was going to talk about faith and finance. And God showed me, and I was so grateful for this opportunity. It wasn't the opportunity to speak. That speaking was the opportunity to have something revealed to me that was so very important. And here's the lesson. When I tithed at the end of the year based off of what I earned, I was simply giving a tip to God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I wasn't trusting Him with my finances. So I immediately shifted. Every single time there's a paycheck that's dropped into, I give 10% to the church. And what has happened from that is not only do all of my expenses get covered after that 10%, but we're able to also support some local ministries and nonprofit organizations that are doing so much good in our community.
Yes, yes.
For other people. And I said it at the beginning, money is a renewable resource and God is in charge of it. And so if we allow Him to be in charge of it by letting go and saying, God, I trust You, and I'm going to prove that with my actions.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a minister say, we are really good at saying that we love others and we want to serve others and we trust God, but does our checkbook and our calendar reflect that?
Yeah. Somebody once said that the way we believe, the way we trust God, it would be more revealed by looking at our checkbook than looking at our calendar. And I think that is really true. We put our monies where our heart is. And and that is that's revealed in times like this. So again, my thoughts would be in complete agreement with you that we need to really give that as it comes in, rather than a lump sum type of, as you said, a tip to the Lord. That was well said. Got just enough time for you to tell us about the book. How's it going? I know you wrote it. It was published last year. How are things with it?
Yeah, wonderful. So it got published in August. You can find it nearly anywhere. It's in bookstores and on Amazon. It's called Finish Financially Free. And it was just a work of a couple of years of just experience, what I'm seeing, you know, with my clients, what I experienced on my own, teachings from other people. And, you know, it should be taught in school. And I realize it's not taught in school the
it's
way
not,
it should be.
Yeah.
Because, well, let's look at it this way. The lender makes money off of interest paid. So the less we know, the more we borrow.
That's right.
Unfortunately. So I want to make sure that people understand the way our minds work when we think about money. We tend to have a focus on short-term wins rather than long-term gains. And also the way that we spend money, we tend to spend more on a credit card purchase than we would if we had cash. Think about this. If you were to just run into your local convenience store because you needed a bottle of water and you were just really parched, but you didn't have any cash on you, If you walked in and you had a, you know, your debit card or your credit card, well, let's just say your credit card, and you just went to get a $1.50 bottle of water, you might grab a couple of other things just because you don't want to put a $1.50 on your credit card. But all of a sudden, you do that many times throughout the month, you've got a larger
That's right.
spend than you would otherwise. So how we spend money also has a big impact.
This is
So I want
also
to talk
good.
about a relationship.
Yeah, this is also good, but we're out of time. We'll have to do this again soon. Christy Naruzzi, my guest today on The Shepherd at Work. Thank you, Christy, for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
And friends, we'll see you next time right here on Shepherd at Work.
You've been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week for a chat with another marketplace leader who will help you learn how to live your faith in every place you live and work. The Shepherd at Work has been brought to you by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.